Amen. Good to be back. Good to be back. We've been praying for Greg and his dad's service. The first funeral that I preached was my dad's. The second funeral that I preached was my mom's. And I preached a lot of them since then, but that's tough to preach your dad's funeral. But it can be done. I was blessed and able to preach Brother Ward's funeral. And, you know, Brother Ward, he's not here anymore. But, you know, Brother Ward went to be with the Lord, and he served the Lord until it was time to go. He finished his course. He kept the faith. And God blessed him. But he's not here anymore. So someone's got to step up and take his place. You know, missionaries go home all the time. Preachers go home all the time. Pastors go home all the time. I was told just before the service of a pastor that has pastored a church for many years, and he works a job, and the people where he works has no idea he was a pastor. You see, he's missed your sign. I love the sign. A waiting world, a willing church. You know, there's people waiting. On our last trip back from down south, we were flying, and I was getting kind of stiff. We'd been riding for a lot of hours. And anyway, I stood up to stretch, and there was a young native couple that we had met. I talked with him in the airport, gave him a gospel tract, and anyway, we talked, and as we were getting on the plane, well, I'm stretching, and I get to talking to him and his wife sat right behind us. And I told him, I said, you know, have you ever been saved? And he said, I don't think so. And anyway, I went through the plan of salvation. He said, I've never heard that. And he said, I don't know any Baptists. He asked me who I was. You know, I told him I was a Baptist preacher. And he said, I've never met a Baptist. And anyway, I gave him the plan of salvation. And he said, well, we just started to make our descent into Anchorage. And I said, would you like to be saved now? He said he couldn't be saved because he wasn't in a Baptist church. I said, you don't have to be in a Baptist church to get saved. You can get saved right here, right now. I'd love to pray with you. And he said, well, I can't do that. He said, I'll have to do it by myself. And I wondered what, and he picked up his glass and he said, I got liquor in this glass. And he knew it was wrong, but he said, I'm not going to ask God to save me or whatever, you know, I'm not going to ask God for anything with a glass of liquor in my hand. And I said, well, I appreciate your honesty. But we just started to, you can tell when you make that little dip, you're starting down. I said, son, look, we may not get to Anchorage. I said, we may crash before we ever get to the airport. And if we do, I said, you need to make sure that you accept Christ before we hit the ground. Don't wait till we get too close. But I said, you make sure you're saved. I'll guarantee you, if we do hit the ground, you're going to be mighty glad you did. And anyway, I sat down. Like 10 minutes later, boom, outside the plane, this huge explosion. And I mean, everyone looked to the right. And all you could see outside the windows, right, where the only thing I saw outside what windows I could see was this huge ball of fire. And I told Betty, I said, I bet he's getting saved right now. And anyway, he went, and I think he did. When we got off the plane, we got to the baggage, and he came over to me, and he said, thank you for talking to me. He said, thank you for explaining that to me. And he said, I wish I could get you out to the village so you could talk to my grandma. Maybe we could get her in too. But you know, there's people waiting. They're a world, a waiting world. The question is the church willing? And, you know, I'm sure we're all involved in missions, but we need to do more. We need to do more. Turn, if you would, tonight to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. You know, I asked myself a question. What does the Lord think of missions? And I heard a verse, Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7, says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Listen, God loves missions. God loves missions conference. God is interested in our missions conference here. And, you know, he's interested in your life. Every person here, there's no big ones and little ones. Everyone is the same in God's sight, and God loves us all the same. Now, I look at these little babies crawling around here, and I saw one while ago. That's Betty. I said, no, who's that baby belong to? It's Mitch and Sarah. I hadn't seen him. But how could God love me as much as he loves that little baby? But he does. How could God love the drunkard, the harlot, the child molester, the sodomite? How could God love those people as much as he loves us? He does. Because he's God. Romans 10:15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We've got a good message here. We've got a message of hope. Yeah, if your hope's in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, you don't have any hope. Jesus is our blessed hope. And I want to preach tonight on the simple subject, everything I do simple, the door. The door to missions. In John chapter 10, read a couple of verses here. John chapter 10, verse number 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless now the preaching. I pray, Lord, you would bless the invitation. Lord, I pray you would bless this missions conference from start to finish. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd do the work in my heart that needs to be done. Lord, I wouldn't ask you to do something for someone else without asking you to do it for me first. And Lord, I pray that you'd use us all this week. I pray you'd give Pastor McGovern wisdom as he directs everything that happens this week. And Lord, everything that's said and done tonight and throughout the week, Lord, I pray everything would bring glory and honor to you now. And I just ask you to bless, have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. And lest I forget, Holly, that was good. Brother McGovern's done a good job teaching you how to play piano now. You got it. The door. Jesus said, "I am the door." You know, there's only one door to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. And Jesus Christ is that door. There is no other door. There is no other way. There is no other hope. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." There is no other way. Jesus is the door. John 10:1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is the thief and a robber." You know, there's a lot of people trying to climb into heaven. They're trying to go through a lot of different doors, but there's only one door. Only one door. "He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, you know, there's a lot of people, I believe they've got fixed in their head, there's a lot of different doors to heaven. I've met some folks that believe there's a door that says Baptist only. You know, we're going to start picking on someone, let's start picking on the Baptist first. I'm not a Baptist brider. I do not believe Baptists are the only ones going to be in heaven. And I don't believe Baptists are going to get the front row seats and everybody else going to take the back. I don't think it's going to work anything like these people are thinking it does. But Baptists. Baptists only. Then there's those think there's a Catholic only. You know, a lot of Catholics believe if you're not Catholic, you're not going to heaven because you're not part of the church. There's not a door that says Muslims only. And I know that, I know all them. If you're Muslim, I know you got problems. There is no door that says Muslims only. Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. And there is no other way. There is no other way. When you enter into these doors that you feel says Muslim, Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, whatever only, you're going to find on the other side of that door a very wide and broad road that leads to destruction. Could I get, I've got some. That's cleaning fluid. I had some stuff, echinacea, that Mrs. Lowe gave me. And I started to bring it with me, and I forgot it. But then I remembered that stuff fermented about 10 years ago. I think she gave it to me about 25 years ago. Kind of coming out in chunks now. But anyway, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There's only one door, and that door is straight and narrow. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, people are looking for something to do. It can't be just by grace. It can't be just by faith. I've got to do something. I've got to have a part of this. No, when, as well as I remember, one of the last things Jesus said, the last thing was, it is finished. It is finished. I had a good friend, Ron Tittle. And Ron used to sing a song, there's only one door to heaven. Jesus fixed it that way. The rich and the poor must go in the same door because there's no other way. Straight is the gate, narrow the way, and few there be that find. So if you want to go, you'll have to go in by him because there's no other way. There is no other way. You know, you're not going to go to heaven because you got baptized and you're a baby. Jesus, you know, I thought I was saved when I went to Tennessee Temple. I honestly thought I was. I heard of eternal life. I know what I did. And I, you know, I asked God to forgive me. But I didn't know who God was. God, yeah, God helped me. God saved me. Jesus is God. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that had nothing to do with what I did. Jesus is the door to heaven. Jesus is the door to missions. The word missions means a sending or being sent, delegated by authority with certain powers for transacting business. In Matthew 28:18, the Great Commission is given. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'll get that echinacea tomorrow. Our job is not to feed the poor. Our job is to give the preacher cough medicine. Where'd you find this? Our job is not to feed the poor. We do what we can to help people in need, but that's not our job. Our job is to feed the rich and the poor the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Gospel means good news. Good news. History of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, and ascension, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a revelation of the grace of God to fallen man. And our job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Rich, poor, black, white, it doesn't make any difference. We stopped on the way here at the gas station up here, going to try to buy some cough drops, and all they had was like candy. So anyway, there was this large Samoan man there, and I gave him a mercenary missionary tract. And anyway, we left. I paid for my stuff. We left, and I was backing out, and he came running out of the store. Hey! And I was like over there where Lonnie is in the car, and he come stopped me. He said, I just saw this track from mercenary to missionary. I said, yes, sir. And he said, hey, I'm a preacher. And he said, we're gathering a bunch of men, a bunch of veterans, I think he said. We weren't sure. It just all happened so quick. They said, we're getting a bunch of veterans together and trying to teach them what it means to be a man of God. He said, I'd love for you to come preach to them. And I said, well, where do you go to church? And it's Church of God in Jesus Christ Science. I don't know. It's a long name of this church. And anyway, I said, well, I appreciate it, And anyway, we left. There's people everywhere that need help. Wouldn't it be something if that guy, now I told Betty, I said, now if I go in there, if I were to go there, I would have to say, hey, you want to be a real man, you need to become a fundamental independent Baptist, what you need to do. That won't get you into heaven, but it'll help you to be a man. And I had another, my chiropractor wanted me to come and speak to their church, and it's a non-denominational something or other. And she said, you just go to certain churches? I said, Independent Baptist. I go to other churches. My sister wanted me to come to her church, which is a United Methodist. And I said, Jan, if I come to your church, I'm going to be calling your preachers a bunch of liars. They don't know what they're saying. They're probably lost, don't understand salvation. And I said, I'm not going to do that. But anyway, missions. It's the gospel of Christ is what these people need to hear. Now, and all men need to hear. All men need to hear. The gospel is called in Romans 1, the gospel of God. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So it's called many different things, but it's good news. It's called the gospel of Christ in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the power of God. It's called the gospel of salvation. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The gospel. Jesus, the gospel is what missions is all about. We don't send missionaries to Africa to feed all the people, but to feed them the gospel. And then you do what you can do. Circumstances are bad. You do what you can do to help anyone. And wherever you go, you try to help people physically. But our main purpose is to get the gospel out. Missions conference. You know, we're not going to raise money to send doctors to the mission field. Unless the doctor is a preacher and going to go. We raise money to send missionaries to the mission field. Jesus is the door to heaven. Jesus is the door to missions. Listen, when Jesus Christ takes control of your life, if he's in charge of your life, you're involved in missions. Yes, sir. And if you're not involved in missions, then he's really not in control, or you have been ignorant to that fact that he is the door to missions. Jesus is the door to obedience. Yeah, we talk a lot about being disobedient and not We're not following the Savior. He is the door to obedience. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Jesus Christ will not ask me to do anything or you to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know why we struggle with obedience? Because we're not following the same door Jesus goes through. He is the door to obedience. And when you have him in your heart and life, and you are following him, you are trying to serve him, you're trying to live for him, you're going to start being more obedient. Listen, I need to be more obedient to the Holy Spirit. Have you ever in your heart, you knew you were supposed to go witness to someone, and yet you didn't do it? There was something you were supposed to do, somewhere you were supposed to be, but you didn't go. You didn't do it. Something you were supposed to say, but you didn't say it. Maybe at work. You know, work can get us in a lot of trouble spiritually if we're not careful. But if we will simply walk through the doors that the Lord sets before us and do his bidding, if we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is a mind that is focused on missions, reaching the world. We struggle with obedience because we don't follow the door that leads us to obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the door to obedience. You know, Jesus is the door to success in your Christian life, to success in life, period. Jesus is the door. There is no other door. There is no other way. There's no other way to be saved. And there's no other way to be happy in your Christian life. You know, a lot of God's children have been robbed of their joy because they fail when it comes to this thing of obedience. And they're still saved. You're still going to heaven. You know, I can't do anything that's going to stop me from going to heaven. And all the devils in hell can't stop me from going to heaven. But I tell you what, I can give up the joy of the Lord, which the Bible says is my strength. I can become very weak, very anemic spiritually because I won't do what God told me to do. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I don't know, I see a lot of faces I haven't seen before. I don't know who's saved. There's one person in this room that I know who's saved, and that's me. Now, my wife, she knows she's saved, and she knows me, but she can't see into my heart. I mean, I believe she's saved. If anybody I ever knew saved, I believe she is saved. But I can't. I'm the only one I know for sure that I'm saved. Jesus is the door to eternal life. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That word succor means to run, to support, hence to help, to relieve when in difficulty, to wait or to want or distress, to assist and deliver from suffering. Today is the day of salvation. God's already taken care of this. He's promised you, I will save you today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I went on a moose hunt last week, and I didn't think I was going to get back for a while. I thought my heart's going to explode. If my heart doesn't explode, I know my lungs are going to explode. And if they don't explode, I know my legs are going to explode. I mean, I'm not going to get out of this swamp alive. You know, Lord, show me. You're not 35, 40 years old anymore, Mr. Roach. But God got me out of it, just like God saved me. But listen, we're not promised tomorrow. If the most important person that this church can reach during this missions conference is you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved. It would be a shame to send missionaries all around the world and you sit here and die and go to hell. So, you know, if you're not saved, get it settled. Luke 13:25 says, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. You know, there's a lot of people that I've had people tell me, I'll get saved when I'm good and ready to get saved. And not before. No, you won't. You'll get saved when the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you. And listen, you don't want to say no to the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people feel like, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. Here I am. Look how blessed you are. Look at me. God, you're blessed. You must choose these doors. Matthew 7:22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, God loves you. And God wants to save you. God wants to use us as the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage to send the gospel around the world to all these different countries. And we've got to be willing. You must choose these doors. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. People won't enter into this door of obedience, to this door of salvation, to this. They don't want to go to heaven yet because there's sin they're wanting to be involved in. Folks, that's a bad, bad, bad place to be. You don't want to be there. And missions, listen, missions is foreign missions and home missions. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, the lowest sinner in China is no different than the lowest sinner in America. We got to have a balance in our lives. I'm going to show you something here. Now, this is a tape measure. It's a bricklayer's tape measure. So, and I don't have a clue. Maybe Vincent could show me what all this means on the back. But that's not why I bought this. I bought this to show you how important it is that we have balance in our ministry, in our church, in our life, in our mission program. We got to reach the world. We got to reach Africa. We got to reach the United States of America. We got to start reaching Anchorage. And you got to have balance in your life. Oh, that's even there, isn't it? So, if we have balance in our life, we're going to all the world. We're preaching the gospel to every creature. things work. You do some amazing things. If you're, you know, if you're really good. Oh, no, don't try that. Don't try that. Remember, we're talking about balance. Balance. You can do some amazing things when your life is balanced. You're not, you know, you get too much of one thing, it won't work. God didn't call me to go to Africa. God called me to go to America. You know, you're not going to do much. But when we are balanced, we're preaching the gospel to everyone. You know, there's Africa is no more important than Los Angeles. And you know, Hong Kong is no more important than San Diego, California. Preach the gospel to every creature. It's the gospel that people need. We need to be obedient. Father, I ask you to bless the invitation. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way. I pray, Lord, you would meet every need now in Jesus' name. Pastor.